Well, good morning, I think. This is Bethel live streaming with a 16-hour lag time. A little bit of a time in between, but we're going to do our best and hope that you have pulled your family up to whatever it is you're watching and pulling your family up and enjoy being together. We're going to look in the scriptures today. I'm going to talk a little bit prior to that with an introduction, but then we're going to go into Hebrews 12. If you want to grab your Bibles, that's where we're headed. Probably before I get going, I want to mention that if you think this is a good idea, I hope you do, take a picture of your little church there, your little family church. Take a picture and send it to me. Email it to my email address and we can look at it. And then maybe we can share it with the church. We'll enjoy each other's family altars, as it were. So send me those things. So again, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to share for 15, maybe 20 minutes. Then we're going to go into a little panel, and I've got some folks here who you'll see in a minute. Matt is doing the filming, but we got a house full with Mike and Vonnie and Paul and Tammy Tolk is here too. And then we're going to go into a little panel with a short discussion. That'll be really good. Anyway, I think we all know this is obvious. We are in different times, troubling times. And some people could care less. You know, we have just, even within the church, some people have no fear of what's going on with this coronavirus. Doesn't bother anybody. They would just as soon be in a crowd, even with all the warnings. And then you have other people within the church that are very frightful of it and afraid and everything in between. And these are troubled times. They're times that try our hearts and challenge our faith. Does God know what he's doing? Or what is God doing? Because God is doing something. And I myself get kind of excited in a positive manner when I see abnormal things happening, unusual things happening in the world. I remember the first time our company got sold and all the employees were worried about if they were going to have a job, what would happen to them. And I was excited because I knew that God was in charge. I believed he was in control and that whatever happened, I would be okay because he would look after me. And I was excited to see what God was going to do because I believed God was behind the scene of the purchase of the company. And that was back in 1976. Long time ago, but God's doing something. He's getting our attention. He's getting the attention of the world. I hope the world is watching. What is God doing? And God gets our attention different ways. It might be an earthquake. It might be a volcano. It might be a tsunami. It might be a pandemic. Whatever it is, God's getting our attention. And as hard as we try to preach the gospel, as much as we try to share our faith with our neighbors and those we work with and whatever we do, nobody can get our attention like God can get our attention. In just a moment, God's got our attention. And again, I hope the world becomes sensitive to what God is doing. It's a chance for us to respond to what God is doing, especially as Christians. What is God saying to me? What is going on? It's an opportunity to listen to what God is saying as he shakes us up. Where are my priorities? Because what we're experiencing today is minimal to what will probably happen as we get nearer to the end times, to what our brothers and sisters in the persecuted countries are going through. What we are experiencing today isn't worthy to be compared to that which may be coming and that to which our brothers and sisters are experiencing in different countries. So I need to get my priorities in order as God knocks on our door. I said a week ago or more, I said it several times, make our trials serve us. Here's an opportunity to do that, to make our trials serve us. Don't live in fear. Don't let fear or panic rule us because God is in charge. God is reigning. No one has thrown God off his throne. God isn't wondering what type of vaccination he should come up with to protect us. God's not worried about these things. He's got everything working according to his plan, as it says in Isaiah 46. And I want to remind us of what was shared last week as we went through Romans 8, and the kind of the central thought there in verse 37 is that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are overcomers. That's what last week's sermon was, and you might want to listen to it if you missed it, or if you can't remember it, listen to it again. We got a lot of time to do those types of things. So it also, I also want to remind us, this is a great time to spread the gospel. As Peter said, always being ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. This is a good time to share the gospel. I know we're somewhat socially distanced from each other, but as God gives you an opportunity to share with someone, I had an opportunity to, this morning. I went to the post office to mail something off, and I met a lady in there who I know, and she told me she had cancer. She has gone through two rounds of chemo, and I told her I would pray for her, and she was very grateful. So I had this opportunity, and I plan on following up with that as well. So these are opportunities for us. So we're going to go to Hebrews 12. Let's pray, and then we'll look at the scriptures. Heavenly Father, we again thank you that we have the freedom, Lord, to dig into your word, and we can share it with one another. We can broadcast it on YouTube or wherever it might be, Lord. We can do these things. We thank you. Father, Paul mentioned in the epistle that he was bound in chains, but he said, but the word of God is not bound in chains. And we thank you that your word can go forth from this little pulpit to our church family and to whoever else might listen. Lord, we thank you that you care about us. Lord, that you protect us. Lord, in the midst of all these storms, nothing can touch us. We are invincible. Lord, we are immortal until you call us home. And we thank you for that. We trust you. So, Lord, speak to our hearts, we pray now, and we commit this time to you and ask your blessing upon each and every one watching this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, let's read, if you have your Bibles, Hebrews 12, starting in verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who now is speaking to us from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this saying, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Great verses for today, aren't they? And again, the setting of it is, as the writer to Hebrews, he's calling to remembrance Mount Sinai, when Moses received the law and he came down and the mountain shook and there was smoke and lightning and thunder and the people trembled and they were afraid of it. And that's what he's talking about in these verses. He's remembering back to then. Verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. God is speaking to us in these days through what's happening from heaven. Let us not turn away from him, but let's run towards him. Let's run to the Lord. They turned away. They said, we don't want to hear anymore from him. We don't even want to hear from Moses anymore. It was so frightful for them. But our God, when he speaks to us, he speaks in love. Even when he shakes the world like he's doing now, he's doing it in love. He's got his eyes on his children. See that you do not refuse, it says. Don't refuse. It means do not neglect or disregard or reject or to avoid. Don't avoid what God is saying. This is the time for us as Christians to do inventory. What is God saying to me? What are my priorities? What has God been saying to me that I've been putting off? The time to procrastinate is over. This is what he's saying. If God if we did not escape his warnings back in Moses' days when he spoke through Moses and through thunderings, we will not escape now. And it's a challenge for us to follow the Lord. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised yet once more, I shake not only earth, but also I shake heaven. So he's shaking everything. That quotation is from Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. And I'll read it for us. Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. It's right before the Z's in the Old Testament. Zephaniah or Zechariah, it's right before them. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, and then in the Hebrew there's a little parenthesis there, once more, just a little while. So this shaking is just a little while. I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land. So he's going to shake heaven, earth, the sea, and the dry land. And all of the nations I will fill, and with all the nations I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former temple, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. So those are some wonderful verses there. And he's going to shake all the nations. And of course, that's what we're seeing. It's not just America. It's not just Italy. It's not just China. It's the whole world that's being shaken. And God's going to shake it. He's got no problem doing that. And then moving on to verse 27. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. What a wonderful sifting God is doing. He is doing a sifting. So we wonder what's going on in the world, what's going on in our life. The writer to the Hebrews, having used this Old Testament reference, he's telling us yet once more, indicating the removal of those things that can be shaken. What God has built, nothing can shake it. What is real in my life cannot be shaken. The reality, the relationship that I have in Christ cannot be shaken. God's purposes on the earth are not shaken. His timetable is not changing and having to modify. He is right on schedule. And what God is doing in our life, his eternal work in our life, is not shaken. God's kingdom is not shaken. He is not shaken. His throne is not shaken. And the work that he has done in our lives is not shaken. Everything that's shaken needs to be shaken because it's not real. We're trusting in wrong things. That's what God is saying here. We're trusting in the wrong things. The word shake there means to shake thoroughly, to shake properly of the action of stormy wind, and then to render insecure. It was meant as a, like in a boat where the sea is so rough. As you remember, the disciples, that the boat was ready to sink. It was shaken. And this is the purpose of the shaking. And again, I don't believe, of course, we don't know where this virus is going and where it's going to end up. We believe that the end, hopefully, that we see an end within a couple weeks, at least a turning point. Supposedly, China has one. We don't know that they've felt they've kind of come through it now and coming out the better side. We don't know. But this shaking that God is talking about is we're sensing something of it now. And sometimes in our lives we go through deeper shakings than what we're going through, tribulation and trials, the loss of loved ones, loss of many things. But God is shaking. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made. Anything that is made, and remember, my body is just a creation. God just made my body. So even if that's shaken, that's okay. God's going to shake it. Everything we have is made. Everything we see is created. And that everything that isn't, that God doesn't intend to remain, everything is going to be shaken. So that's the word shake. Again, properly of the action of a stormy wind with the result to render insecure. Insecure already. So moving on quickly here. Verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. So the purpose of the shaking is here in verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, that which God is doing in our lives cannot be shaken. The ESV reads it this way: therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. And in verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. Let us be grateful. Are you grateful? Am I grateful that God has done an eternal work in my life that will stand when this body is gone and dead? The work of God in my soul will go on. In fact, it'll really prosper then. It'll accelerate into glory. But am I grateful about those things? So we're to be grateful about it. Notice also it says that we have received a kingdom. It's not something that I'm going to get, although I'm going to come into the fullness of it. It is something that I've already received. God's put a kingdom within me in which there is a king, and he reigns in our lives. We have received, and it's like it's going on. We have received it, and we're receiving more and more of this kingdom. It's something that has already happened. So we have received. It's an unshakable kingdom. There is no power on earth or under the earth or in the heavens that can shake this kingdom of God in the inner man, nor destroy it. Its king in the kingdom changes not, and he reigns without a challenger. That which is of God, which is of eternal value, shall never suffer damage or harm. Never. What God has done. And this is the shaking, that everything that is non-important, so to speak, it isn't essential to the kingdom of God, will be shaken, whether it's a 401, whether regardless of what it is, even health, even family. These things God has created, but that which is eternal in us, our salvation, our being conformed to the image of Christ, our sanctification, these things are critical. So three things that cannot be shaken. God's word will not be shaken. And it's so important, because who does God say that he is? We have to trust the word. We've got to place our faith in the word, which leads us to a living God, for faith comes by hearing this word. God's word will never be shaken. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. God's love will never be shaken. Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. God's kingdom, his eternal kingdom, will never be shaken. In Psalm 145, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. And because of that, we are to worship God in reverence. That word reverence is only used twice. It's with a sense of modesty, bashfulness, reverence, regard, respect. Some translations have a little different word there, but it's a word of reverence. Of holiness. He's not just my neighbor. He's not just some homeboy. He's God. And we worship him with our bodies, as Romans 12 talks about. Then it says, with fear or with awe. That also is only used twice in the scripture, in the New Testament. It means that is mingled with fear and love. It's a mixture of fear and love. Awe and reverence, or this fear, is mingled with fear and love, which combines and constitutes the piety of a man towards God. It's a combination of it, that we almost ashamed, in a sense. We're bashful that God would welcome us in, but yet he does. And so we go, and we're to enter boldly. For our God is a consuming fire. It's the only time that's used in the New Testament. Consuming means to consume utterly and wholly. He is going to consume. Not only is he going to shake, but that which isn't of him will be consumed. So in conclusion, the question for us as believers or unbelievers alike this morning is, are you worshiping the unshakable God? Am I worshiping the God who is unchanging, regardless of what happens to me? Do I worship this God who is unchangeable? Or am I worshiping shakable possessions or shakable things? What am I worshiping? Is my heart fixed on God? Is God my treasure? Or is the world my treasure? or other things my treasure? Or is God alone my treasure? You know, when we enter into glory, we're going in alone. We're going to stand with God alone. Though there might be multitudes around us, it won't be my wife with me, it won't be my children with me, it'll be me with my God. Is God my security, or is it my social security? What is my security? Is God my fellowship, or is it my friends, or just my family? Is that my fellowship, or is God my fellowship? Is God my portion in this life, or is the world your portion in this life? What is your portion? Do I stand with reverence and awe before the power of a holy God who is a consuming fire, consuming all that isn't of him, all sin and all dross? He consumes it. And so do I clothe myself with the asbestos, the fireproofing of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, so that the fire of God can be seen from within, not as a punishment, but as glory, as something to accept, the shakings of God. I can accept that because he is purifying us. And as Job said, when I come through the fire, I'm going to come through pure as gold. So there's our time. I trust it blesses you and your family. I want you to also, the panel, that you can send questions to my email address or comments, and then next week we'll bring them up and talk about them. So God bless you. Amen. Great. How does this panel look? Oh, everybody in the crowd is cheering. They're lining up for autographs. Okay, maybe they're not. All right. Does anyone have any questions that you want to ask? And again, we have to keep things kind of short, our comments and responses short. But any questions?
One thing I wanted you to clarify in verse 26. Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. What is he referring to in heaven there? Is that just the heavens, the skies, like in Genesis, created the heavens? Because you later said heaven would not be, or yeah, God's kingdom would not be shaken as heaven.
If you're going to ask questions, they've got to be really easy ones. Well, again, some of this reference goes back to two things. You know, it goes back to what was happening with Moses, where it was just the earth that trembled and whatever. So that's, you know, doesn't answer your question, but that's where it's going to. He's also addressing that, again, this is the letter to the Hebrews, where he's trying to move the Hebrew people from going back to the old covenant. So he's showing also in here how Jesus is so much greater than Moses. Then God just shook the earth, but with Jesus. And so some of it's looking ahead to when Jesus is coming back, or all heaven's going to erupt. So this shaking of heaven doesn't necessarily mean now, but when Christ comes back, everything's going to be shaken. The earth is going to be rumbling. Again, we know that there will be a new heaven, a new earth, because all of it's going to be rolled up. So when Jesus comes and this is the end, man, everything's going to be shaken. In the meantime, we have some of these little shakings, which is what we're going through now. So that's the way I take it as. It's referenced more to, you know, the shaking that will come. So, thanks, Paul. Anybody else?
I really appreciated the sermons that you've been preaching the last couple of weeks. And were you going to preach something like this even before the outbreak of coronavirus? Because it seems like what you've been sharing on is looking to the Lord and not looking to the, you know, these other things in the earth.
Yeah. You know, again, I was supposed to be doing Timothy. And so, you know, and I kind of feel bad about leaving a direction, you know, but I've felt that I shouldn't go back there, that the Lord would give me something, you know, each week by week by week. So, yes and no. I mean, I didn't know necessarily what the subject was going to be, but I knew it was going to be about reliance on the Lord. How that would come out, I wasn't sure. You know, in fact, today I wasn't going to share this. I was going to share what, maybe I'll share next Sunday. But anyway, yeah. Right. Any other one else with questions?
Oh, sorry. One of the things you had said that we need to do, or the scripture says, that see that you do not refuse him who speaks. What are some of the ways that we can refuse God?
That's a really good question, because everybody can pitch in on that one. Even Matt can scream from back there if you want to. But yeah, what are ways that we could refuse him? Again, remember the word meant to neglect or to avoid, to procrastinate, kind of put it off, and it might be too late. You know, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as they did. You know, today is the day of salvation. So maybe some of you folks would like to say, what are ways we could refuse his voice that he's saying to us? Anybody? Tammy?
I feel like before the coronavirus,
yes,
I was really busy, and now I'm not. And the other day I went to work, and I came home, and I was home all evening with my family.
Wow.
And, just God allowing us to be together, you know, is one of the ways I feel like that might be honoring him, not being as busy praying together as a family.
Yeah.
So.
Anybody else with ways that we can respond, or ways we may have refused him, or busyness is one of the ways we refuse him, you know. So we need to watch it when the busyness comes back, you know, to limit it.
Right. But you challenged us in, I think, January to have a half-hour prayer in your home, if you could, for the month. And that was really good. It got, and because, for one thing, it gets you in a good habit of doing that, praying together and stuff. But I noticed as January was over, we slowly slipped back into, I think we did anyway, into not doing that as much. But again, this reminds us, is really reminds us that we shouldn't be refusing him. This is still a very big priority, and it's easy to put it back on the
right
on where it should be again. So.
Yeah.
Well, the Lord has ways of speaking to us in our quiet time and when we're praying, and I felt like I had a really good morning quiet times. It's been established, and but he's been speaking to me about, you know, you begin the day with me, and then you go through the day. I would like you to end the day with me. And so when you had that prayer at night, that was really good, because that was just a confirmation. It's like, yeah, that's what the Lord wants us to do. And so, and I really feel like what is happening now is distractions are being taken away. And we have an opportunity, like you said, to focus more on the Lord and what's really important, because the kingdom we're going into is forever, and this one is passing away.
Yeah, that's right. Go ahead, Paul.
I was just going to go with tag on to Mike. Distractions are being taken away. We also have the risk of losing routine, which is sometimes good, sometimes bad. We've just gone through six Saturdays in a row here, it feels like, because every day the kids are still there. Nobody leaves for school. It kind of gets disorientating. And the danger is that tomorrow, or today if you're watching this, is just another Saturday or whatever. I mean, to set that time aside, we have to be disciplined in doing so. And I said, I feel that's a risk that we could lose that.
Right, yeah. When the busyness of life or normality, which might be a bad normal, comes back, yeah, that's right. Again, this might not fit in right now, but again, just for those who, again, who are watching, that I think it's neat to kind of keep some type of a routine. Again, and so Sunday morning, you know, getting the family together and say, okay, we're going to have church, and Dad's going to lead it or whatever, and someone's going to, you know, Sissy, you're going to open up with prayer, and then we're going to watch this for 35 minutes, and then we can talk about it and discuss it or whatever. And just to have the church in the home. God's gifted every home that even if you're single, you can still have church at home. You know, worship the Lord. You can sing. You can play. You know, get some worship music on YouTube and sing a couple of your favorite hymns, whether they're brand new ones or 400-year-old ones. You can find them on YouTube and listen and worship the Lord and get into the Scripture. And so, just a really good What ways can we think of that? You know, if God has said something, if you felt something that kind of nudged you through what we shared tonight, what are ways that you could apply that? You know, because our disease that we have is not applying what we've heard. That's what God will ask us in that day. You know, you heard me, but did you put it into practice? So did God say anything? Do you sense something that you need to respond to, and how would you respond to it? If it's kind of a double question, but yeah, I felt the Lord really, you know, spurring me. Tammy, you kind of said that in the sense of busyness, but I don't want to let you off the hook there if you have others, but you know, some way that we can apply what we've heard. How do we do that? Because again, like last Sunday, I said, what did I speak the Sunday before? Give me two verses, one from Psalm 68 and 116, and one person might have had it, but we couldn't remember for sure what we spoke, where through the week we should be digesting what was spoken to us if God spoke. You know, I trust that God speaks to us. So this week from here, what do you think we can take from it?
Well, I really liked what you said, and I made a star by it. And I hope that'd be something that I could kind of meditate on this week, is God's love will not be shaken. And what does that really mean? And what, and in what ways? And how wonderful His love is. And I thought it was a really good statement to remember.
Amen. That's good. Thank you. Yep.
I like the questions that you gave at the end. And I think it would be good to self-examine and ask God, you know, those questions. And, you know, like, is He my treasure? And
yeah.
What do I need to do, Lord, to know that You're my treasure?
Yeah.
Am I putting other things before Him? So
yeah.
I like the questions. They're good.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. How's our time, Matt? 10 and a half minutes, you mean? Yeah. Okay, we got time maybe for one more comment, and we'll close in prayer.
When you, I just went through Hebrews not long ago, and when I came to that verse, let us have grace, my mind went immediately to the scripture that said, God gives grace to the humble.
Yeah.
And I knew the only way that I was going to have grace is if I let God humble me.
Yeah.
And it's, Lord, and another scripture says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Lord, help me. I wanna have grace.
Yeah.
Because I've tasted of Your grace, and it is so good.
Right.
And without grace, there's no power to go on. And,
right.
So that was just a different way, let us have grace. And it's, okay, where do we get it? It's in Jesus Christ. So it was good. I am, it's one thing to believe God allows this. It's another thing to believe that God ordains these things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all in the plan. There's a plan. God has a plan.
He does.
Man doesn't necessarily. We have plans, and they've all been shaken this week.
Yeah.
And for us older ones that are semi-retired, not so much, but for the younger ones, I know, the kids, the school, the jobs, it's really tough on them. And I just look to the Lord.
Right. Well, 2 Peter 3:18 says to grow in grace. Yeah. And God gives us grace. Here it says grace to reverence Him, but God gives us that grace. And if we don't, you know, as He said, if they didn't hearken unto what I spoke, you know, they were in trouble, and how much more us when God speaks to us in heaven. So grow in grace. God gives us grace to see what's happening. That's grace. God gives us grace to realize that, hey, I need to reprioritize my life. I need to grow in that grace. So that's, again, 2 Peter 3:18. But Paul, would you close in prayer for us?
Lord, we just want to look to You this week as we go through this time, where we have no idea what's in store. It's a time that You're with us. We know that You know the future. It's a time for us to trust you, to follow you, to obey, just to grow in you. And so that's my prayer this week, that each one of us would look to you through all the circumstances, no matter what the news report comes across as, just to turn to you, to follow you, to learn from you, and to learn to trust you fully without reservation. So amen. Just pray your blessing on all watching, that they would, that this would be true to them, that they would learn from this, that this video would be a true blessing and food for their soul. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.